Trump declares Iran nuclear accord dead as U.S. military launches fresh strikes. The U.S. military launched fresh strikes on Iran on July 8, 2026, targeting the country's southern coastal infrastructure from the Strait of Hormuz to the Gulf of Oman, effectively collapsing the Memorandum of Understanding signed just 3 weeks earlier and turning the world's most critical oil choke point into an active war zone. U.S. Central Command confirmed the strikes were initiated to protect freedom of navigation through the Strait of Hormuz, citing Iran's assault on three cargo ships transiting the waterway the previous day as the trigger. The strikes hit Bandar Abbas, home to Iran's largest port and key Revolutionary Guards facilities, as well as the coastal cities of Konarak and Chabahar. A railway bridge near Akalla in northern Iran was also struck, according to Reuters reporting from July 8, 2026. A U.S. official told Reuters, on condition of anonymity, that Wednesday's strikes exceeded Tuesday's in scale. A firefighter died in a strike on the airport in Iranshahr. Iran's top negotiator, Mohammed Baker Khalibaf, responded directly on X, the U.S. has yet to learn that bullying and breaking its commitments no longer come without a cost. Let me be clear, if you strike, you will be struck back. The Strait of Hormuz will be reopened only under Iranian arrangements, not through U.S. threats. The collapse of the June 17 Memorandum of Understanding removes the last diplomatic guardrail between two nuclear-adjacent powers exchanging direct strikes. For institutional capital, the Strait of Hormuz is no longer a tail risk. It is the base case. Brent at $78.8 tells only half the story. Wednesday's exchange of strikes pushed Brent crude futures up approximately 1% to $78.8 a barrel by 54 GMT on July 9, 2026. That number deserves context. Brent traded above $120 a barrel at its late April 2026 peak, meaning the market has already priced in a version of this conflict. The 34% decline from peak to current levels reflects the June 17 Memorandum of Understanding and expectations of a negotiated resolution. That resolution is now gone. The current $78.8 print is not a signal of stability. It is a signal that markets do not yet believe Wednesday's escalation is durable or that supply disruptions will materialize at scale. Our view: the market is underpricing the probability of a prolonged Hormuz closure. Before the war began, 1/5 of global oil supplies transited the strait, according to Reuters. That volume has already been reduced by ongoing hostilities. A formal closure, or even sustained interdiction of commercial traffic, would trigger a supply shock that the current Brent price does not reflect. The Strait of Hormuz carried approximately 1/5 of global oil supplies before the conflict began, according to Reuters. A sustained closure would remove a volume of crude from global markets that no strategic petroleum reserve draw, however coordinated, could fully replace in the near term. Iran's Parliament National Security Commission has also explicitly listed closure of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait at the mouth of the Red Sea as a potential retaliatory option. That waterway connects the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden. Any coordinated closure of both passages would sever the two dominant seaborne oil export routes from the Persian Gulf simultaneously. Trump's NATO fracture opens a second-order risk channel. The Hormuz strikes did not occur in a vacuum. On July 7, 2026, the day before the fresh strikes, President Trump attended the NATO summit in Ankara and made explicit the alliance's fracture over Iran. He named Italy, Germany, and France as countries that declined to assist the U.S. in reopening and patrolling the Strait of Hormuz. "Italy turned us down, and Germany turned us down, and France turned us down," Trump said at the summit. "Why are we spending hundreds of billions of dollars and they're not there for us? The implication for capital markets: the U.S. is prosecuting a military campaign in one of the world's most sensitive energy corridors without NATO coalition backing. That increases execution risk extends the likely duration of the conflict, and reduces the probability of a negotiated settlement brokered through multilateral pressure. Trump's concurrent offer to consider selling F-35 fighter jets to Turkey, a country still in possession of Russian-made S-400 air defense systems, adds a further dimension. Trump met Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan at Erdogan's presidential compound in Ankara on July 7 and said, "It's certainly something we will consider." Turkey's legal prohibition on F-35 participation stems from its S-400 acquisition. Trump's offer signals a willingness to override that constraint in exchange for Turkish support on Iran. The strategic logic is clear. The transactional cost, potential Russian access to U.S. military technology supply chains and interoperability data, is real and unpriced by markets. Syria delisting changes the regional capital flow map simultaneously. Trump announced on July 8, 2026, his intention to remove Syria from the State Department's State Sponsors of Terrorism list, a designation Syria has held since 1979. Secretary of State Marco Rubio confirmed that Congress had been notified, triggering a 45-day review period. This matters for institutional investors beyond geopolitical symbolism. Syria's removal from the list would constitute one of the final obstacles blocking the country from fully rejoining the international financial system, according to ABC News reporting from July 8. The other countries on the list are Cuba, Iran, and North Korea. Syria's removal, contingent on congressional inaction during the review period, would unlock correspondent banking relationships, multilateral development lending, and infrastructure equity from Gulf sovereign wealth funds that have been legally prohibited or reputationally constrained from deploying capital into Syrian reconstruction. Syrian President Ahmed al-Shara, who once led an al-Qaeda affiliate, had a $10 million bounty on his head and served time in Abu Ghraib prison before leading a coalition of Islamist rebel factions to topple former President Bashar al-Assad in late 2024. Trump described him on July 8 as having done a really fantastic job as president and said he had unified the country in a very short period of time. The re-rating of political risk attached to Syria is occurring at the same time the Iran conflict is deepening. The two are not unrelated. A weakened Iranian sphere of influence, which previously extended through Syria to Lebanon and Gaza, creates a vacancy that Gulf capital and Turkish political alignment are positioned to fill. The memorandum is gone. The nuclear option is back on the table. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson Esmail Baghi stated before Wednesday's strikes that U.S. military action violated the memorandum by challenging a clause affirming Iran's responsibility for determining safe passage arrangements through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran's mission to the United Nations Security Council filed a letter accusing the U.S. of blatant violation of the Charter of the United Nations and its international obligations. Iran's Parliament National Security Commission simultaneously listed three retaliatory options: withdrawal from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, revision of Iran's nuclear doctrine, and closure of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. These are not rhetorical positions. They are sequenced escalation signals communicated through official state channels. Trump at the NATO summit in Turkey said he did not expect a return to full-fledged war and stated that anything that happens is going to be over very quickly and will only make it safer, including for oil. But Trump has also said he believes the memorandum of understanding is over and that he does not want to deal with Iran, calling Iranian officials very dishonorable people. Those two positions cannot coexist indefinitely. The plecamium view the market is treating this as a containable escalation. It is not. The June 17 Memorandum of Understanding was a fragile document. It assigned Iran formal authority over shipping arrangements through the Strait of Hormuz, a clause that made U.S. military operations to keep the strait open an inherent treaty violation from Tehran's perspective. The memorandum was structurally unenforceable because it required both parties to accept incompatible definitions of sovereign authority over international waters. Its collapse was not a surprise. The timing was what the market has not priced. The combination of a dead ceasefire, a fractured NATO posture, Iranian NPT withdrawal signals, and simultaneous Syria reintegration creates a regional architecture reset, not a bilateral U.S.-Iran skirmish. The Gulf states hosting U.S. military bases, Kuwait and Bahrain, are now absorbing Iranian missile and drone strikes directly. Qatar issued and then withdrew an elevated security threat alert on July 8. These are not peripheral events. They are the operating environment for LNG terminals, offshore energy infrastructure, and sovereign wealth fund headquarters. Plaquemium's thesis: the energy risk premium embedded in Brent at $78.8 is $30 to $40 short of where it should trade if a sustained Hormuz interdiction scenario is assigned even a 25% probability weight. The late April peak above $120 occurred under conditions of uncertainty. The current environment features active strikes on Iran's largest port city and explicit Iranian threats to close a second major choke point. The Brent discount to that peak is a buying signal in energy, not a sign of resolution. For private equity and infrastructure capital, the immediate play is not Iranian assets. Those remain uninvestable under current sanctions architecture. The play is Gulf infrastructure resilience, specifically pipeline rerouting capacity, alternative tanker routing insurance, and LNG terminal security in Qatar and the UAE, all of which command premium pricing when Hormuz transit becomes unreliable. The Syria delisting, running in parallel, opens a reconstruction capital opportunity with a multi-year runway, contingent on the 45-day congressional review concluding without a block. The NATO fracture is the second-order variable that extends this conflict's duration. Without Allied burden-sharing in Hormuz patrol operations, the U.S. bears the full operational and reputational cost of the campaign. Iran's negotiating posture, which Khalibaf made explicit, is that coercion will be met with counter-coercion. That is not a path to quick resolution. The bottom line: the Strait of Hormuz memorandum is dead, confirmed by Trump on July 8, 2026, and buried by CENTCOM strikes the same day. Brent at $78.8 reflects neither the supply risk of a sustained closure nor the escalation potential of simultaneous threats to the Bab el-Mandeb. Institutional portfolios with unhedged Middle East energy exposure should treat the current Brent level as a window, not a floor. The Syria delisting, if it clears the 45-day congressional clock, represents the most significant emerging market capital access event in the region since Gulf normalization with Israel began in 2020. Watch the sovereign wealth fund deal flow from Riyadh and Abu Dhabi into Damascus reconstruction for the first confirmation signal. The war that began on February 28, 2026, with U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran has not ended. It has entered its most unpredictable phase.